Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 After. Thanks for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, don't forget when you do, if you do it this week, you'll get the piece I wrote this weekend called Leadership Lessons from Ronald Reagan. And I just talk about some of the important characteristics of a leader and how Ronald Reagan demonstrated those. Karen Kerrigan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's basically one of the longest term members of our Brain Trust of anybody. She's been with me since the very first couple of weeks of the show. She's the president and the founder of the Small Business Survival Committee. She's our good friend, Karen. Welcome back to the show.
Be with you.
It's good to have
good
you
to
back.
Be with you. I feel like I should win a prize or something.
Well, it's in the mail, Karen.
I know.
Karen, it's you know, you were already scheduled to be on the show. I don't like going very long without having you return and share some of your wisdom with us. But so it's kind of interesting that you're here today on the day that the first day of our remembrance of Ronald Reagan. I think everybody knows by now that he died on Saturday. And where a lot of people are thinking it's all Reagan all the time on television right now and on the radio probably, and we're going to do our part at least for a little while. Karen, you were telling me on the break about what an impact Ronald Reagan made on you. Would you tell us that story?
Oh, from a personal perspective, mm-hmm. You know, he had a tremendous impact. I mean, I remember. I was in college during the crossover from the Carter to the Reagan years.
I prefer to call that the feckless Carter years to Ronald
Reagan.
Yeah,
that's right. But, you know, there really was a sense of hopelessness, and I think, you know, Mr. Carter did his part to make that clear in terms of the malaise and our best days were behind us. And when you're a student in college and thinking about what you're going to do when you get out of college, that wasn't the type of message that you wanted to hear. I mean, I said, well, why ever leave college? and then, you know, Reagan came in 1980. I had two more years of college. It was, I mean, just it felt like, you know, a dark cloud had lifted across the country. I mean, there really was a sense of hopefulness. I mean, he truly did bring back you know, not only our belief in ourselves, but that our best days were ahead. And being a college student that, you know, was graduating in 1982, those were the things that you wanted to hear. But I also remember being a political science major and economics minor, some of the professors that I had in college, how exasperated they were about having this president from California pushing some of the policy ideas he had. So that made for some great debate, mm-hmm. You know, within our political science classes with respect to, you know, tax cuts, with respect to his building up of the military, and how this made some of these professors lose sleep at night. So, I mean, and that did help to cement, I think, politically where I am today, actually, having those debates and then coming to Washington, you know, as an intern my last semester of my senior year and some of the debates that took place then. And I think also, you know, but from what the work I do right now with the Small Business Survival Committee and looking at the policy ideas and what he pushed through the Congress with especially with respect to, you know, the concepts of the size and scope of government, what its role was, in tax policy, cutting that top marginal rate from 70% to where it is now, I mean, had just a terrific impact on entrepreneurship. And I would say, lastly, being a friend of Michael Reagan since the early 90s, and just knowing what he thought about his father and how he endeared him, and I almost feel like there's a personal relationship there, and just knowing, you know, Michael's experience with him and growing up with him, and of course Michael now being a talk show host and being on Michael's show and actually guest hosting his show for him, and he's gone away. So it comes together in many, many respects. I mean, what a great president, and what a great legacy he's leaving. And I'm just great to hear this outpouring of support.
Absolutely. And what a great American. 22. Yeah. We'll be right back with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, the president of the Small Business Survival Committee. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Karen Kerrigan is our guest, and she's the chairman and the founder of the Small Business Survival Committee. That's sbsc.org. And Karen, tell us a little bit about the Small Business Survival Committee.
You bet. We are a national nonprofit small business advocacy organization. We have over 70,000 members nationwide, and we are a watchdog for small business interests inside the nation's capital. We celebrate our 10-year anniversary this year and do what we can to protect small business and to advance policies that are going to create a favorable environment for entrepreneurship and play a lot of defense, too. I mean, there's a lot of things that impact small business on a daily basis that are being introduced in the Congress or from a policy perspective in the agencies each and every day. So we do what we can to protect small business from some of the things that will raise their costs and act as barriers to entry for new businesses. So I encourage people to visit our website at sbsc.org to see what we're up to, because whether it's postal reform, my latest column that I did in the American City Business Journals this week, or tax reform, or environmental policy, small business has a stake in these issues.
Healthcare, fighting minimum wage increases, that's exactly right. And folks, don't forget to support the SBSC with your investment. If you can help them out a little bit with their expenses, you can join their organization there on the website. And I will tell you, anything that you can contribute to their cause is money well spent for any small business. And I encourage you to check out their website, because you'll learn a lot of things there, especially how every member of your congressional delegation voted on small business issues. Karen, we're talking about Ronald Reagan. And, you know, one of the things that we know about Ronald Reagan is that he gave so much of himself to everything that he did, the world, the nation, the state of California when he was governor there. He was two-term president of the Screen Actors Guild. Whatever he was doing, he gave 100% of himself to that. And America loves so many millions of people in America love Reagan because of that. But you know what? There's only so much of any of us to go around. Did his family sort of not get what they thought they should have gotten because of that?
Well, I think when you read, whether it's Michael Reagan's book or even Patty Davis, some of her, recent writings on her relationship with her father, is that, you know, growing up or even, in their youth, I mean, they did feel like they were getting the short end of the deal, because of his, because the nation owned him, America mm-hmm. owned him, and that's what, sort of where his focus was. And I mean, certainly if you were, whether you're the CEO of a company or the president of the United States, especially during, times that he faced during his presidency, that, if you have kids or children or other family members that, they somehow could think that, you know, they're maybe being ignored or not getting the time, you know, with their father or family member that they should. But then, but in these writings, I mean, they reflect back and, you know, talk about, gee, how much they learn from this, and that, you know, they're only, you know, being, you know, a child, in that, you know, they wanted more of their father, and that at times the allegiance seems like it was elsewhere. But, you know, there's now there's a certain perspective on that. I mean, from there's an article in Newsweek today that Patty Davis did that talked about, you know, the gemstones that she remembered and weaved together from her childhood on about, mm-hmm. you know, those special moments that, you know, have meant a lot to her. And that, you know, she has a certain respect for that now. And when she was adrift from the family for a while and came back, that, you know, she blames a lot on herself, you know, that Jesus
right.
could have been somewhat just, you know, a selfish type of attitude.
It's got to be tough, Karen, when your father is a person who's a very important human being in the history of mankind, and Ronald
right.
Reagan certainly was.
But also from what I read about Ronald, both from the reflections of his family member and even those closest advisors to him, there was a place where you just never went with Ronald Reagan. You know what I mean? That there still was a mystery about the man. There was that wall that he put up that very few people could penetrate. And probably, you know, obviously the closest was his wife, Nancy.
Right.
And but still, even there was the mystery about the man that, as I said, even those closest around him just, you know, would,
someone,
could not
someone
get,
who
could
knew
not
him,
get there.
Someone who knew him well this week said nobody got to that place
exactly.
except maybe Nancy.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
you know, who knows what that might be? I mean, you know, we know that a little bit about his upbringing, and his, you know, his father was an alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
and that creates some type of, you know, that has an impact on people. But luckily,
mm-hmm.
I mean, any type of, you know, frustration or any type of, you know, what occurred from that, I mean, he tunneled into or funneled into good things, you know
well,
what I mean, as opposed to
right.
negative type of action.
Well, exactly. And the other thing is I think this the lesson here for small business owners is that we're very important people in the lives of our small businesses, but we need to never forget that we're also very important people in the lives of our families. And we have to balance all that. We also have to remember that we have to take care of ourselves, our bodies, and our souls. And
right.
that's a lesson, I think, for small business owners. When we come back, Karen, I want you to tell us about Ronald Reagan's legacy for small business, 21st century small business owners. How are we still benefiting from the time of Ronald Reagan on this earth? Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, the president of the Small Business Survival Committee. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Karen Kerrigan. By the way, folks, when we come back in the next hour, at the beginning of the hour, I'm going to read the last lines from his farewell speech as President Reagan left the White House and to go to California and to ride off into the sunset. I'm going to read the last quote, which was his reference to Shining City on a Hill. So that's going to be coming up the first part of the next hour. Karen Kerrigan, talk to us about the 21st century, the legacy of Ronald Reagan in the 21st century for small businesses.
Oh, well, there is no doubt that Ronald Reagan just had a abiding respect for the small business and entrepreneurial sector, the private sector, if you will, and knew that if it was unleashed from the shackles of government taxation and regulation, that it would just do extraordinary things. It was part of not only of sort of his belief systems, but also, you know, was able to articulate that in his very optimistic view, which I believe was responsible for getting, you know, his tax cuts through a democratically, you know, controlled Congress and a lot of his important policies in which those legacies leave today. You know, in terms of the private sector, I mean, one of his one of his great quotes was an address that he gave back in Los Angeles in 1968, where he said that we have to realize that this country, in its private sector, has been fighting the most successful war on poverty the world has seen for the last 200 years, and
right.
which is totally accurate. I mean, just, you know, the strides that this country has made in terms of building its economy has been fabulous. And, I mean, clearly he left an indelible mark with respect to tax policy. I mean, cutting those top marginal rates from 70% had a terrific impact in terms of just encouraging entrepreneurship and encouraging risk-taking and investment for the small business and entrepreneurial sector. Taking that business to the next level, if you will.
Let's not forget free trade, Karen, because you know what Bastiat said? Bastiat said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And
yeah.
with the end of the Cold War, you know this better than I do, today more than 100 countries, the people in more than 100 countries are free that weren't free pre-Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And all those people are trading partners, are potential trading partners for America's small businesses.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, when I think back on, you know, where China, you know, was during his years. And but when in 1990, you know, he was quoted in talking about China is, you know, he said, that although the future is hard to predict about where China will go, he's betting on the triumph that the tidal wave of freedom sweeping the world mm-hmm. is where China is going to go. And that's exactly where it's going.
You know, another thing, Karen, is how he dealt with the air traffic controllers who went out on strike. He said,
yes.
If you're not back in 48 hours, you're fired. And when they didn't mm-hmm. come back, he fired them. And that broke the back of the grip of unionism on the American marketplace that we're still benefiting from today, in my opinion. And if you don't agree with me, look at what's going on in Europe right now. They're going to have barely 1% growth this year because of their socialistic management practices over there. In America, we're probably going to have 5%. And
right.
I attribute that to when Ronald Reagan said, there's a new sheriff in town, you got 48 hours.
Right. And you're right about the EU. I mean, you think, I mean, just a side note, that they would get it at this point. But now the high tax, high regulatory states in the EU, Germany, et cetera, want to impose on the new EU members, like, mm-hmm. You know, Russia and other high growth countries, Ireland, you know, they're saying they call it tax harmonization, which is really let us impose our high tax rates on you.
Right.
I just don't know why they don't get it. You know what I mean? But at any rate, that's just a side note and another issue that we're dealing with on international issues. But also, we saw the first seeds of terrorism, you know, during his years, and sort of mm-hmm. an understanding about what this might mean. You know, to the world. I mean, again in the
bombing,
mid-80s.
The bombing in Libya. I mean,
right. His address to the nation on our reasons for a preemptive
right.
anti-terrorism airstrike
right.
in Libya is that, you know, he had the evidence. It's precise.
Right.
It's irrefutable.
Lebanon was what I was trying to say. That
yes. I mean, you said
Karen,
terrorism is. Yes.
I'm sorry,
we gotta go. Oh my
thank
God,
you.
It went by quick.
You hear the music. I know time flies when you're having fun.
You bet.
Thanks for being here. You're the best.
You take care.
Karen Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen, Small Business Survival Committee. She'll be back. Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.